empty chest before pulling away in time to catch him sniffing me. Did I stink to his undead senses? I looked up into his face as he kept my cheek in his cold hand. Did you miss me? Would it matter? I asked, knowing he already knew I'd missed him. I saw you at my grave, every day for the first few weeks after I left. Then when work got busy at the guild, you came on the weekends. Do you have any idea how hard it was to stay away from you until I could contain this eternal fucking hunger? Is this where I say sorry? Because I would have fought. If we had died, then so be it. Everyone dies sometime. And I'd have died to prevent what you've become any day of the fucking week. He frowned and nodded, letting his arm drop from my face. I can change you, Sin. We could be together forever, never grow old, never be apart. I wouldn't abandon my coven so easily, Adrian. And who says I don't want to grow old? You made a choice. Don't assume you can make mine as well. I'm what I was born to be, what my parents died for. They died making sure I stayed alive. I won't change that because you went and made some stupid decision. And it was, Adrian, it was stupid. We needed you and you broke me. You left us weakened by your loss, and who knows what could have happened while you were out fucking everything with a pulse. I wasn't fucking anything, Sin. I was so busy trying to figure out how to get you back that I couldn't get my dick up. I had to feed, though, and well, it goes hand in hand. So yes, I've taken lovers because I had to. I was just buying time, Sin. I was unstable. He threw his hands in the air with frustration. I couldn't control it. I gave my life to protect you. Going to you while I couldn't control the bloodlust would have been stupid. It changes nothing, Adrian. You left us exposed. You left me in fucking pieces, I shouted, uncaring if whoever was listening heard us. I came back, damn it, just in time to find you wearing his name on your neck, Sin. Are you fucking him too? He isn't what you think he is. He is so fucking much more, and he's playing you. Did you fuck him? Call out his name while he was fucking you, like you did with me? He sneered. I slapped him before I knew what I was doing. All the rage and anger I'd been holding inside since seeing him came out with a vengeance. The pain and betrayal I felt didn't help either. I turned to go, but he was on me, his fingers biting into my shoulders as he tried to turn me around to face him. Big mistake. I don't play well when I'm angry. I pulled every ounce of power from the air around us and pushed it at him, watching the shock on his beautiful face, his beautiful eyes as he was thrown from me violently, up into the air. I could hear blood rushing through my ears, through my veins as I allowed the power full rein inside me. I wasn't a fucking victim, and I wouldn't become one at his hands. I watched him stand up slowly, carefully. He was linked into my power. I could feel him tapping into it, pulling from me. His death had not severed his connection to the coven. He'd known this entire time where and what we were doing. I could see his eyes registering the mistake he'd just made. I held perfectly still, waiting to see his next move. I didn't mean to hurt you, Sin. I'm still learning how to control it. He whispered, looking down at his hands as if they were foreign objects. What I do is none of your fucking business, Adrian. You chose a different path that doesn't lead to me. I allowed the power to drain slowly, watching as he did the same. If I sleep with another, it's not up to you to decide if it's wrong or right. It would be my choice, my choice. He shook his dark head, his hair falling into his turbulent eyes. He isn't what you think he is. I'm trying to protect you. I'm a big girl, Adrian, and I don't need protecting, not anymore. You do against him. Fuck, Sin. We all need to be protected against him. Are you that fucking blind? Wake the fuck up. You're smarter than that. He growled, fisting his hands at his sides. Then what the fuck is he? I asked, narrowing my eyes. I could tell when Adrian lied. I could feel it. He was also holding back, trying to shield the connection we had through the coven. I can't tell you. Not because I don't want to, Sin, but because if I do, I forfeit my life and maybe even yours. That wasn't a lie. I watched him as my mind ran wild with what he was saying. If Ryder was something else, wouldn't I have noticed by now? Adrian, I said, shaking my head as nothing he was saying made sense, but the connection between us was telling me he spoke the truth. I can't, he said dejectedly as he dropped his shoulders and shook his head. He stepped closer, and I instinctively stepped back from him as I watched him closely. Just don't take anything around here at face value. And don't fall for him, baby. Promise me that somehow we will be as we were before we separated. Promise me we will be together when this is over. A sob escaped my lips before I could stop it. I couldn't promise him anything anymore. He was undead. He'd left me, and even though it wasn't maliciously done, it was done. I stepped further away and turned back toward the house. I couldn't promise him anything, but I still loved him, just not in the way he needed me to, and it hurt to not be able to say it. Sin, he called, but I was already moving, refusing to fold, because if he caught me, I'd lose this battle, and this relationship would be the death of me, literally. I was halfway to the house, blinded by tears, when I ran into something hard and unmoving. Did he hurt you? Ryder's voice was angry and sharp. I shook my head and tried to push past him, but it was like pushing a concrete wall. I looked up with tears swimming in my eyes, trying to make my tongue work, but whatever he saw in my eyes must have showed him I needed to be alone, because he let me go and followed at a close distance behind me. When I reached my room and moved to close the door, he held his hand up on the wood frame, stopping me from closing it. They found a few bodies. I need you ready to go, Sin. And I need to know what he did to make you cry. In that order. Your mind to protect, and he overstepped. He said he wanted to explain why he had done it. You needed closure. You all did. But no one makes you cry. Not on my watch. Ryder, this is none of your business. As I told him, I'm a big girl and I can take care of myself. He bowed his head, giving me a dark, dangerous smile. Keep telling yourself that, Sin, and you might eventually believe it. I don't need you to believe it, or myself for that matter. I have to protect, endure, and live for my coven, in that order. I'll be ready to leave in 5 minutes. Let me just go grab my big girl panties, I said, leaving him at the door. I'll be strong for you, Sin, if you need it. You don't always have to be the strong one. I'll be your glue if you want to crumble. I'll hold you together, he said, lifting his eyes to meet mine. And what if you're what's making me crumble, Ryder? What then? His lips lifted into a sexy smirk. Then I'll put you back together. I will never tear you down, Sin. I will always protect you from anything and everything that would. I've yet to find anything in this world or any other who can take me on. Keep that in mind, he said, lifting his eyes to meet mine before he started to turn away. I was startled by his words and what he said earlier when we were dancing. He didn't like me, did he? That's what I'm afraid of. Chapter 24. I quickly changed into jeans and a different shirt that covered my arms. The fact that the other bodies we'd examined had blown up had a lot to do with the long-sleeved shirt. Shrapnel hurt like hell. I put on leather boots, which were not pretty but would protect my feet, and headed to the door hurriedly. I was just going into the 4th minute of the 5 I had told Ryder I needed to be ready. He was in the hall when I came out, leaning against the wall, holding the vest that had saved me last time. The other gear is in the car. We don't know what to expect this time, but there are 5 bodies. I'm taking no chances with your safety, Sin. This one could go south in a hurry. I want you on the perimeter, not on scene, until the dogs have finished. My heart sank in my chest. Hot tears stung my eyes as I felt the loss of the 5 people this crazy asshole had taken from the world. We need to catch this killer writer. This has to end soon. He had bomb-sniffing dogs. Why didn't he bring them to the last crime scene? I wondered as I turned to ask him just that.
I just got them, so before you go yapping off and demanding to know why I didn't think of it before, finding well-trained dogs that can sniff through otherworld bullshit is harder than it should be.
Well, that settled that. I narrowed my eyes, wondering how he had figured out what I'd been about to ask him.
You speak through those pretty blue eyes. Try to work on it if you don't want the world to know what's going on inside that brain of yours.
Fuck you, Ryder. I put it in my eyes, with a smile lifting my lips, even though I really didn't feel like smiling, while we went down the never-ending stairway to the front doors where his men waited with my coven. This was going to be a long day. The crime scene was like the others. Half-torn-up bodies lounged in chairs while some sat in different positions up against the walls. The only difference at this scene was the sheer volume of bodies. Some looked no older than 20. A few wore dresses while others were in workout clothes. They're all in shape. I mumbled more to myself, trying to figure out what we were missing.
What would that matter?
Saruk questioned, coming up with his face crumpled in disgust. Nothing, but that they're all in shape, which is the only connection, besides the fact they all come from a faction of the Otherworlders. Which brings us back to necromancers. They choose victims who they can benefit from controlling. Strong bodies to use, but if it was necros, well, they forgot the bodies. So we can check them off the list of suspects. He smiled, which looked off with his forehead crinkled from the rich scent of death. He was Fey, and they could smell everything 10 times stronger than I could, and I was fighting the churning of my stomach that fought to release the coffee I'd sucked down earlier today.
Good to know, I guess. No dead fucks cutting people up, he replied.
They went off the pattern, though. Most of these women are Fey, so the body count is higher for the Fey than it is for the humans. Our fairy knew her killer. She let her inside her house. These women looked surprised, as if they never saw death coming. Unlike the fairy, they were not at their homes. I scanned their feet. Most wore shoes, except the two who were currently footless. The others had on either running shoes or dress shoes. I leaned down to examine a young female whose hands were held above her head in full rigor mortis. She had handprints on her wrist. Her feet had been bound, but her eyes looked lifelessly at something in front of her. She also had those damn holes in her shoulders, as if something had pinned her to the chair, but nothing inside the room was small enough to have been used. Two killers, or more, I said, horrified. It had been bad enough to be looking for one sadistic killer, but now we had two to find.
You sure?
Ryder asked, coming over to stand next to Zaruk by the female's body. Someone held her hands above her head while someone else dissected her organs. She has handprints on her wrists with nail marks in the tissue, so we're looking for at least one female. She had to have been killed a while ago. Her blood stopped flowing about 7 hours ago or so. She also has the same holes in her shoulders as the fairy and all of the other victims. It's possible that whatever the pins are, it could be what is sapping their powers.
So you're saying there are more killers than we originally thought we were looking for?
Ryder asked, clarifying what I had just said. Yep. Two sadistically twisted fucks. Or more. To kill on this level. They had to have had help. I don't see two people killing this many women in this little time, Ryder. We have 3 Fey and 2 witches with an empty spot, but a blood pool. So someone else was here before we were, taking their dead with them when they left. I watched Ryder nod his dark head once before he clicked open his phone and hit redial. I waited, trying to figure out if he was calling the guild or who it could be that he thought his people needed to be informed.
Vlad, now.
He barked at his phone.
No, this cannot wait. Put him on the fucking phone. Get him on the damn phone now.
He waited briefly, and then Vlad's smooth voice came through the other end, loud enough for me to hear. "What is it, sire?" There was that title again. "Did you remove a body from a crime scene?" He waited, and then hung up. "It wasn't a vampire. Vlad hasn't removed any bodies." "So it wasn't a vamp, which leaves light fey. These are all dark fey," I said, scanning the room briefly before resting my eyes back on Ryder.
"I would smell it if they had a light fey inside this room."
"We're missing something. You said the dogs picked up nothing, not even a trail. So what if the killer is using the body parts on him or herself? It would confuse the dogs. And why didn't they put the bombs in? Too many bodies, maybe? But they could have gotten the same results using just one to destroy the crime scene." I mused, looking around and finding a picture sticking out from beneath one of the bodies. Ariana again. She was dressed in a business suit, her blonde hair piled and pinned on her head, with a red X painted over her face. "This is the same picture we found at a different crime scene."
"So it is. I'm glad she agreed to extra security,"
Saruk said as his eyes settled on the body the picture had been under.
"She kind of looks like Ari, Ryder."
Ryder was already squatted next to the body with his elbows resting on his knees as he examined the corpse.
"She does, but so does that one."
He pointed to the body in the chair. "Think whoever is doing this has something against Ari?" I asked, looking at the faces of the other victims.
"Hard to tell right now. She's a gentle creature, timid at best,"
Ryder replied as his eyes evaluated the other bodies.
"I cannot see anyone holding a grudge against her, which was why we were shocked when news of the assassin's interest in her came."
"How did it come?" I asked, wondering how they would know an assassin was trying to take out his future bride. It wasn't like we posted it on the telephone poles and said, "Hey, by the way, we plan to snuff out your life." No, we just got the assignment and carried it out silently, making damn sure no one was the wiser that we were coming.
"We got a tip from one of Ariana's people that someone was trying to kill her. Someone highly trained and very deadly. We don't take chances with our own."
I narrowed my eyes on him. "So someone just walked up and told them, 'Hey, we plan to kill the Light Heir,' and you believed them?"
"No, we investigated it, but we couldn't find any leads, and since your guild was the only one in the city, we came to you. If the guildmaster offered to help, we knew it wasn't from within your guild. Marie sent me a letter a few years back, claiming you were different than the others inside the guild. Better, faster, and smarter. I made sure to ask for you. Alden was only too willing to give you to us for a price. So tell me, Sen, if you had been told to take out my bride, what would you have done?"
He asked, watching me closely. I would have observed her movements for around 2 weeks or so, until I knew a time and location where she would have been more available and with fewer guards. Then I would have gotten the team together and taken her out before a single word of what we were told to do could get out. Clean, simple, and painless. I wouldn't have told a single person who wasn't in on the hit about the target. When you take a mark, you don't want retaliation, so telling anyone else would be off limits, a breach of contract. So let me ask you this, Ryder. Who would be so sloppy to get word out about taking down a target, unless your future bride placed it on herself?"
"Why would she do something like that?"
he growled, obviously upset with where my mind was going. "Because she loves attention, and being targeted by assassins has only garnered the newly found Light Heir a truckload of it. I don't know, Ryder. The Fae are secretive, and yet she seems to be loving the limelight of being on the front page of every fucking tabloid in Washington State. In fact, Larissa brought in a copy of her having tea with the governor. So if she was so worried about dying, why is she at the Capitol building having tea in a place easily accessible to an assassin?"
"Enough. She wouldn't be that careless. You are forgetting that pictures are easily forged."
That's true, Ryder. But she's incredibly excited to be the new queen-in-waiting of the Dark Fae, and couldn't ask for more in her new husband who is generous and handsome. The exact words she fed the press last week in Spokane at the mayor's settee, where she had tea with him. Same exact thing she told the governor. His teeth ground together as the tick in his cheek flared to life.
Enough, witch.
I smiled. I was back to being just a witch. Back where I knew what my job here was. I'd like to try something. If we can clear the room and get to a safe distance.
What do you have in mind?
He asked, his eyes still narrowed dangerously. He was touchy about his future bride. So was I. I had forgotten that he was spoken for, and yet I'd come close to losing myself in his arms. Easily done, since he was Fae, and they didn't follow the same rules about marriage as we did. We clear the building and try to see if I can make it explode. I smiled ambitiously, crunching my nose at him as several cameras from the others on scene were going off, taking in every detail of it.
After the CSI team clears it, you think the dogs missed one?
He asked quietly as he tilted his head as if listening for something. If we missed them, Ryder, the dogs could have. Something we did at the last two scenes set them off, and if I'm right, it was magic. Thing is, if I'm right, that also means the vampires have more knowledge of the crime than they are letting on.
It's possible,
Ryder said, and then we waited for the crime scene unit to finish with their pictures. When they finally cleared the scene and we moved a safe distance away, I put up my shield, but nothing happened. I closed my eyes, replaying everything I had done inside of the other scenes, and smiled when I found what it was. Second sight. I'd used it moments before the bomb in the body cavity of the fairy went off, and I had been using it when the one at the vampire's sad excuse for a calling card went off. I pulled in just enough power to use it, and sent it seeking around the crime scene. Nothing happened. I stepped a few feet closer while Ryder talked to his men and sent it out with a force that would reach inside the house where the bodies lay mutilated. The house exploded with enough force that I was thrown from the spot I had been standing in and ended up landing on something hard. I coughed as smoke took to the air, making it thick and unbreathable. Noise exploded as my ears started to work again. I tried to sit up, but the once solid object gave in as my hands pushed on it, and a deep growl sounded next to my ear.
I hate when you're right,
Ryder said inches from my ear as I turned over to find his face close to my own. I'd landed on him. It was becoming an irritating pattern. I smiled brightly. I didn't mind being right. Not at all. Thanks for breaking my fall, I whispered, not sure if he would hear it over the fire crew we'd called to be on standby as they rushed to stop the fire from spreading while we had waited for CSI to move from it. He laughed. The sound vibrated against my chest where our bodies were fused closely together.
Anytime you want to be on top, just let me know,
he said, wiggling his eyebrows, which was entirely out of character and made him boyishly handsome. Pervert. A building just exploded. We should be acting professional, I mumbled, already detangling myself from his limbs.
True. And you were right, which means I need to call a vampire and find out what he knows.
If nothing else, they know the person who is creating the bombs, and it could get us a lead on these sick whack jobs. Chapter 25. The next afternoon, I helped Larissa prepare her outfit for the Samhain celebration at the Guild. She had picked out a corn-yellow silk dress that had an imperial waistline and would make her green eyes pop. She always looked good, no matter what color she wore. Her perfection and her smile were contagious. Sen, I wish you would reconsider and come with us tonight instead of going with him. Who cares about the stupid contract? I just wish he would commit to releasing you back to Alden after we figure out who's trying to kill his fiancée. What if he doesn't? What if this was all just an elaborate scheme that we played into? The picture at the crime scene was the same one at the others that you showed me. All of the victims in the files match her description from the tabloids. That's a whole lot of what-ifs and without any hard evidence. I sighed dejectedly. She was right. I needed proof, something that was substantial enough to make people understand that something about these murders had to deal directly with Ariana. It could be as simple as the killer having an infatuation with her, but what didn't make sense was the fact that the fairy had been killed, or where a woman would fit into it, other than some creep being infatuated with the light air. Speaking of fairies, Melinda walked in with a stack of shopping bags. She smiled at Larissa, and I jumped up to help her from where we had been sitting on the bed talking.
"Oh, thanks. Ryder sent me. Told me to tell you he secured an outfit he would like you to wear tonight," Melinda said, grinning from ear to beautiful ear. I bit my lip as Larissa's eyes swung to me questioningly. I knew what she was thinking. Hell, I was thinking it too. He had bought me an outfit, and there were bags filled with shoes and other things as well. "It's not a date," I blurted, causing both women to turn around with beautiful matching smiles. "It's not," I grumbled. Melinda tilted her head and examined me. She crinkled her nose at my sweatpants and tank top. I waited, watching her mind work. "Yeah, good luck making me look beautiful. Tomboy, I could do. Deadly assassin, in the freaking bag. But beautiful arm candy?" I almost laughed at the thought.
"Ever consider cutting your hair into an actual style?" Melinda said as Larissa snorted from beside me. I tossed her a cool, leveled glare.
"What's wrong with the style I have?" I asked, feeling self-conscious.
"Nothing, but I don't think it has been cut in years. And I can see from here that it is a few different lengths. I am very good at cutting," Melinda said softly.
"Yeah, so am I," I retorted, meaning something else entirely.
"Can I trim it a little? I promise not to touch your bad girl image," Melinda said with a mischievous smile.
I was about to put my foot down when Larissa caught my eye. She looked excited about this, and the fact that I was doing something really girly. "Fine," I said before I could think it over too much. It took Melinda a few hours of primping, waxing, and some very painful plucking before she had me stand in front of the mirror she'd brought into the room. Larissa stood, primped up perfectly herself, but I had done a full transformation. I had straight hair that had been curled to frame my face. Melinda had put on a light blue eyeshadow that made my eyes strikingly electric blue. She'd applied a light blush to my cheeks, which gave my face definition and a touch of softness that was usually hidden by the tough exterior I hid behind. My lips had been glossed, but she'd left them alone otherwise, stating that they were already perfect. The dress Ryder had secured was an expensive designer work of art. It came to mid-thigh, leaving my legs and most of my thighs exposed. It had a sweetheart neckline and was sleeveless, other than the two straps that flowed over my shoulders and crisscrossed around the back to meet the only other strap that held the back of the dress together. They also kept the dropped V-line back from showing off my rear.
"Sin, you look stunning," Larissa said, fanning her eyes to keep from messing her mascara up.
I smiled at her from where I still faced the mirror. I didn't think I came close to matching her beauty, but I was 100% woman. I let my eyes drop to the stunning small heels and smiled. They laced up my ankles and had tiny ruby-like jewels that matched the necklace with the twin dragon pendant on it that he'd sent to replace the Celtic one he'd given me days ago.
"Wow, Melinda, you managed to make Sen speechless," said Larissa.
"You're amazing, simply amazing."
A knock sounded at the door right before Adam walked in, and he stopped dead in his tracks as his eyes filled with love for Larissa.
"Wow, you look amazing."
His eyes swung to me as I watched through the reflection of the mirror.
"Holy shit, Brixen. No way in hell are you going anywhere with Ryder looking like that.
I smiled and crinkled my nose. It's not a date. It's simply research, so I know what to expect from the Fae at the ball.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that, and eventually you might buy it. I'm a guy, Sin, and I'm telling you straight up, we don't take women looking like that anywhere for just research.
Well, it's not like that, I said, wondering who I was trying to convince more, myself or him. My smile faltered with the reality of what I was doing and who I was going with as it came rushing back. I closed my eyes briefly, knowing I was making a mistake by going with him tonight.
Adam, get out. You always put your foot in that fat mouth of yours. She is going for research. Who cares if she is the hottest damn thing in the club?
I blinked as Larissa went off on Adam. She thumped her foot as she crossed her arms and waited for him to leave. I knew better. He wouldn't walk out and leave her upset. He wasn't built like that. It's okay, really, I said when Larissa didn't let up.
I don't like her going out with him. Not without us as backup, baby, he said, messing with the suit tie he wore.
Larissa's sternness gave way with a huff of air as she rushed forward and threw her arms around Adam's neck.
I know. Me either, but she won't change her mind. Looking like that, she could have any guy inside the guild, and we could watch her back.
I snorted.
I'll be fine. If not, I'll call you. You two enjoy tonight. We need to let loose once in a while. Just remember not to make a huge show of your newly found feelings tonight. We never know who might try and use it against us. Just be safe and have fun. Adam smiled roguishly.
Right. So I shouldn't grind my erection into her on the dance floor?
Ah! I held up my hands, covering my ears and making a dramatic show of it. My ears!
We all laughed, including Melinda, who had been watching us. Adam released his hold on Larissa and stepped up until I had no choice but to turn around and face him.
Be careful tonight, Sin, and call us if you need us. We'll come, he said, before pulling me in for a hug carefully so he wouldn't wrinkle the silk dress. You look beyond amazing tonight. Just remember, one call and we're there.
I smiled. Considering I don't even know where there is, you're just going to have to trust that I am able to take care of myself for once. He swallowed and nodded.
We're well aware that you can, Sin. That's never been in doubt. It's all this shit with Adrian coming back. It has to be driving you crazy knowing he was a few blocks from us this entire time. So you're vulnerable right now.
It was my turn to swallow and nod. You guys remember what I told you earlier about Adrian's reason? I mean, it doesn't change what he did by leaving us. But you guys should know that Adrian is still tapped into us and our power. I need to release him. Just couldn't do it yesterday.
Shit! So he's been connected to us this whole time,
Larissa said, putting her hand over her mouth in disbelief. Yes, but I didn't realize it until yesterday when I knocked him on his ass. He pulled from my power I'd tapped into. He was able to draw power from me. I exhaled a shaky breath and continued. I'll take care of it, but I needed you guys to be aware of it. He's chosen a side, and if he was ever against us, well, he'd know our moves before we would. I walked out of the room with my friends by my side. We'd all be leaving close to the same time, and I was as ready as I would ever be. With my heart in my throat, I looked down the intricate, long stairwell and found Ryder watching us. He was decked out in a black suit. He was mind-blowing in his finery. I had to remember how to breathe as I took the stairs carefully in the heels. He was devastating tonight. His short hair was loose, falling over his ears as he watched me through his perfect bedroom eyes. His hands folded in front of him as that damn smirk, who knew a smirk could be so sexy, covered his beautiful mouth. When we reached the bottom of the stairs, he came over, his eyes roving over my body hungrily. His wicked, sexy grin was blinding compared to the usual cocky air he showed. Tonight it was gone,
and in its place was a sexy, intriguing male who was oozing fuck-me vibes that sent heat pooling to my molten center.
"Sen,"
he said, lifting his grin into a smile as I accepted the arm he held out for support.
"You look beautiful."
His eyes slowly slid down my body with naked desire in their fiery golden depths. "You clean up pretty good as well, Ryder," I mumbled before biting my lip with a smile. Adam leaned in and whispered in my ear before he and Larissa went out the doors.
"It's so a date."
I blushed, turning to watch his retreating back as he turned, smiling back at me over his shoulder and wiggling his eyebrows childishly. Ryder only laughed as we followed them to the waiting limos outside. I looked at it and smiled. It was black gloss in color and had tinted windows. He opened the door, and we climbed in silently. When we were fully inside, he sat across from me, his eyes dangerously sexy as they caressed over me. I crossed my legs and leaned against the seat for support, which I needed in any form I could get right now. I managed to pull my eyes from his hungry stare and watched as we drove away from the mansion. The loud sound of a cork being removed from a bottle made me jump and place both hands on the soft leather seats. Ryder laughed.
"Scared to be alone with me, pet?"
I watched the bubbles flow from the bottle, none of them landing on his crisp, freshly pressed suit. "Not at all," I lied.
"You're a horrible liar, and you should be afraid. The things I want to do with you right now, I could think of a few hundred things to do right now that don't include ending up at the club tonight."
I swallowed and narrowed my eyes on him. "This isn't a date. You promised to give me a time frame for when you would release me from the contract."
"This isn't a date."
"Yeah, nice, Sen." He hadn't said anything about it being a date.
"So I did,"
he said as he reached into the window box, pulled out two champagne flutes and held them in one hand as he filled them before offering me one, which I accepted without a second thought. I needed it to calm my nerves, or at least that's what I told myself. "Are you going to?" I asked, prompting a reply from him.
"At the end of the night is what we agreed on. Until then, you promise to relax and not try to control everything. So drink and relax then. Loosen up and enjoy the night. Tomorrow we have to continue the search for the killers."
"What is it you expect from me tonight exactly, Ryder?" I asked, watching his dangerous eyes flick to my legs.
"The possibilities are endless, Cynthia."
Chapter 26. We entered the sub-level of the club through an elevator, which I hadn't noticed the first time I'd been inside Psy Darklands. It had been a short visit, and I'd been bordering on hysterical when I'd been here signing his contract. This level was exclusive. Security was thick inside the club tonight, as if they were expecting trouble. I fisted my hands at my sides as my eyes wandered and took in the assortment of creatures inside the club. It was something out of a nightmare. Different branches of the Fae, many kinds I had never seen before, mingled with humans who looked to be here willingly. Of course, I looked willing, which was really still up in the air.
"Having second thoughts?"
Ryder asked, close enough to my ear that his breath fanned my neck. I turned to look at him as the elevator behind us opened to allow more Fae into the room. One approached us, not even trying to hide what he was. He was dressed immaculately, his long hair tied at his nape with a strip of leather. His eyes were red with orange around the irises, his hair coppery red.
"Ryder,"
he said, stopping to bow to Ryder, who tipped his head to acknowledge the newcomer.
"Altius,"
Ryder said, dismissing him with a nod. The Fae moved on without another word as Ryder's men, who had come earlier, moved in around us. Tonight they looked primal, as if they were fighting against something and losing. Zaruk's eyes were wild, his mouth tightened from strain. I was about to ask if he was okay or if we should worry, when music started up from the stage set up in the front of the intimate club.
We moved further in as more and more Fays showed up, each acknowledging Ryder before moving deeper into the club. "You know them all?" I asked, turning my head to watch his response. He smiled wolfishly, his eyes turning to lock with mine.
"Why wouldn't I?"
he asked quietly, which I barely managed to hear over the pounding music. "Because most look like they might be from the Horde," I said just as quietly. His smile grew bigger.
"Someone has been doing her homework,"
Ryder replied, his eyes challenging me to say more. If he was moving in on the Horde in the King's absence, it was none of my business, not unless it caused a war that crossed into my world. Until then, it was his problem. I smiled and let it drop for a moment, which only seemed to amuse him. "Dark Fae consorting with the Horde," I whispered more to myself, but Ryder heard it anyway.
"Dark Fae and the Horde are allies, Cynthia. This isn't a well-kept secret. It's fact. We help them when needed, and they help us."
Funny, I thought the entire Fae race loved to fuck each other over. And right now their king is missing. Meanwhile, your father isn't. Sure you're not trying to step into the Horde King's shoes? He smiled mischievously and watched me, refusing to answer. I rolled my eyes and watched as Zarouk stepped up closer to Ryder.
"Zarouk, Terra is heading this way. Tell her to give me 20 minutes before we start and make sure she explains to our people the rules as well as the others,"
Ryder asked of his man before offering me his arm once more. Zarouk didn't reply more than to nod his head and run interference with the busty blonde who was even now trying to get past him to talk to Ryder. Her vibrant green eyes locked on me as her lips twisted into disgust. She was 100% Fae, of which kind I wasn't sure. She was definitely pissed off Fae. "Girlfriend?" I asked as he pulled me over toward the dance floor. His sexy smirk was irritating as he dodged the question and pulled me against his chest smoothly.
"Jealous?"
he asked as he scanned my face. "Hardly," I said, grinning.
"You look beautiful tonight, Sen."
His eyes burned with an intensity that made me hesitate as I placed my arm around his until he pulled me around to stand in front of him. "You look nice," I replied, not used to giving out compliments to guys very often, unless you wanted to count telling Adam he looked good goofing off, which he did, and often. He rewarded the comment with a half-smile as his hand settled around my waist.
"Nice is what you tell your brother when he does something stupid."
Wow, this guy was good. I smiled even as I tried not to, considering I had been thinking the exact thing when I'd said it. But the funniest part was his disgruntled look. It was as if I just insulted his person. "You look like a rogue who is intending to do very bad things while looking very debonair, Ryder," I amended. His smile brightened wickedly, his eyes alight with laughter.
"Maybe I am. Would you let me, Sin?"
he asked, all traces of the laughter gone instantly. A silent shiver crept up my spine as his fingers touched my flesh, his eyes caressing me more than his hands could ever manage. I licked my lips and considered lying. Ryder was beyond my boundaries. I'd set them for a reason, and yet to tell him I didn't want him would be just that, a lie.
"I want you, Sin. I shouldn't, but it doesn't change the fact that I still do."
I swallowed and turned my face away the best I could manage to keep him from seeing the brilliant blush that flowed over my cheeks. "I'm not like Claire, Ryder. I won't be used because you want sex. That's what it would be, right?" If he said yes, then it would be so easy to just walk away. He was unpredictable. The dancing we'd done had been intimate and surprising. He'd been gentle, so unlike himself on that dance floor. Here he was once again, a sexual male. Ryder was not the kind of man you walked away from. He was the type you crawled away from, trying to remember your own name after he was done with you.
"I want you, and I make no excuses for what I am, Sin. Claire satisfied a hunger, one you created. Would you rather I had taken you, even though I knew you were not ready? I'm not that person. I don't take unwilling females, ever. I don't have to.
His hands moved up, his finger and thumb cupping my chin so I was helpless to look away from his exotic eyes.
You want me. Your body trembles with it.
And if I don't want to be yours, Ryder? I questioned, fighting the urge to claim his full mouth. He smiled as the Rook motioned to him from beside us.
I told you, tonight is all about being yourself, Sin. But it's more than that. You get to see us as our true selves, as Faye. You will be mine tonight, even if I have to hunt you down and claim you.
And if I run? I asked, narrowing my eyes as he stepped back from me, his hands releasing my chin and lowering back to his sides slowly.
I enjoy a good chase.
I'm not a dog, Ryder. I growled as an overwhelming urge to run hit me. One minute I wanted to kiss him, and the next I wanted to run from him or kick him. I wanted to run from the pleasure I could read in his eyes. He was enticing. The sexual pleasure I felt just being around him was intoxicating. My body felt the need to give in to the truth of his words, but my mind knew he was quicksand.
No, Sin. Tonight, you are mine. You're the white stag everyone will be chasing.
His smile turned dangerous, his eyes glowing brightly, even in the dimly lit club. A shiver crept down my spine as his words filtered in. Deer, dog, I'm neither.
You want to be chased. You need the choice taken away from you. You fight your own desires because you think you cannot handle it, Sin. You punish yourself for something that happened long ago, something you couldn't have changed, because destiny decided it before you were even born. I'm just giving us both what we want.
Fuck destiny. I decide my own destiny, Ryder. Not some fucking preordained bullshit. I snarled, tired of listening.
Fighting destiny. He shook his head and smiled. Every time I think you can't become more of a puzzle, Sin, you throw in a new piece. Go ahead and add more pieces, Sin. It only makes me need to put them all together and see what the end result is.
You're a bastard, Ryder. I hissed, trying to turn away and put distance between us. He didn't allow it, moving with Faye speed. My hair flew from the wind he created, wafting over my cheek.
I don't make excuses for what I am or what I do. I play hard, I love hard, and I fuck even harder, Sin. I am what I am. So if you play games with me, keep in mind I will be more than happy playing them with you. And I always win.
He growled huskily, close to my ear before his lips gently fanned against mine. When I looked up, he was once again standing beside Saruk, with his lips twisted in a devastating smile that had a touch of seduction and amusement. It was the first time I'd seen him move like that. No, not move. He'd just sifted time and space. I knew Faye could do it, and even though I'd known he should have been able to, it still shocked me to my very being. I'd never seen it done before. Ever. I brought my hand up against my lips, still feeling his kiss burning against them. I shook from the need to chase him, to see where that kiss would lead. I didn't. Instead, I turned away from him, searching through the crowd for an empty spot to stand in, preferably away from what my body was feeling for Ryder. I didn't find a place. Instead, I found Adrian standing back in a dark corner with his eyes watching me intently. I stepped forward and headed directly toward him. When I stepped closer, I could read overwhelming desire in his eyes.
You shouldn't be here, Sin, he whispered.
And you should be, I retorted as I watched his face close off once more. He was hiding something. I could feel it. Adrian, what are you hiding? I asked him bluntly, tired of playing word games.
I told you as much as I could, Sin. You should leave the club, now. I scanned his beautiful face. His face was covered in the same strain Zarook's was. I took a look around the room, noting several other Fae in close proximity looked the same, as if they were struggling against something. The air had also grown thicker inside the club, and a loud thud echoed as metal grates were pulled across the only exit I could see. It looked like a fog machine was sending a thickness into the room, making it eerie and dangerous. I turned, looking back to where Adrian still watched me carefully, his eyes pleading as his head bent forward.
"You need to run fast and deftly when the time comes, baby. Don't stop running until you're safe."
And with that, he disappeared from where he had been, vanishing from the spot completely.
"Adrian?"
I called, not caring how stupid I looked, talking to thin air. A microphone sounded as someone tapped it and welcomed the Fae.
"I see we have some fine hunters here tonight,"
a tall, leggy brunette said as her emerald green eyes looked around the room. Her smile was filled with amusement as growls sounded around the room in confirmation to her words.
"The fun will start shortly. Until then, find the prey you brought with you and make sure it is marked."
Howls erupted from the men next to me, along with several others who joined in. The fine hair on the back of my neck stood up at their unworldly-sounding noise. I turned around and started back in the direction the elevators were, but I must have had it wrong because in their place was a wall of solid glass.
"Going somewhere?"
Ryder asked from behind me. "Home," I whispered breathlessly, turning around to take him in. He no longer looked human. He was taller, his features more defined as he watched me. I truly was his prey in that moment. His eyes tracked everything I did. When my hands fisted at my sides, his eyes flicked to the subtle motion. His head tilted slightly to the right as if he had just found the most exquisite prey.
"There is no turning back now, Sin,"
he said thickly, his voice leveled with gravel in his tone. "Ryder, something isn't right here," I breathed. His wicked smile sent my pulse racing as he closed the distance and sniffed my hair, his hands resting on my exposed shoulders.
"I can smell your fear, Sin, your heart beating wildly as it realizes what it truly wants."
His mouth pressed against my ear, making heat flood my center.
"You want this. You want me to catch you. To make you mine in every sense of the word, don't you?"
I placed my head on his chest as his hands drifted lower, his fingers tracing softly along my naked arms. I lifted my head as he took my hands and rubbed my palms with his thumbs in small circles. "And if I don't want this, Ryder, what then?" I asked out loud.
"Tell me you don't want me, Sin. Make me believe it. And I'll open the fucking doors and let you out now."
My gaze locked with his as his dangerous golden fire searched mine. He'd hear the hesitation if I lied. I'd sensed he'd know it in this form. His smile was beautiful, his eyes rimmed in obsidian, caressing their golden depths. I considered backing away from him and running, but I wasn't sure where to run. "Ryder," I murmured, watching as he moved closer, his head still tilted as he closed the distance between us.
"I promise to be gentle with you."
His mouth pressed against mine, his tongue pushing against my lips, demanding entrance as he invaded it. I melted against him, his kiss stealing my mind and taking my will as I took his mouth and allowed him to continue. When he broke the kiss, I held on to him, not because I wanted to, but because my legs had stopped working along with my brain. I gasped as his hands held me pressed tightly against him.
"That's why I brought you here, Sin. Because you need release, and you would never give up this tightly controlled self-image you have of yourself without it being this way."
What the hell did he mean by that? I liked control. I didn't like unknown factors, and at the moment I was inside of one. I stepped backward, watching as he followed me step for step until I was pressed up against the solid wall of glass. I'm not that girl, Ryder. I don't want to become food for anyone or a plaything to you.
He stopped and narrowed his eyes sharply. Who said this was about that, Sen? This is about making you lose control.
He reached up and tilted my face until I was staring into his inhuman eyes.
I want to see you wild. See who you are inside.
His finger drifted up from my navel to my heart.
Inside here. Not what you pretend to be for everyone else.
I snorted. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not, Ryder. This is me. He smiled and licked his teeth slowly.
No. This is the battered 5-year-old who doesn't want to be afraid. The same one who watched helplessly as her parents were murdered. She's afraid to be hurt, afraid of getting attached to something she might care too deeply about and lose one day. This is the hurt little girl that got a little too cocky on an assignment and lost her first love. You're afraid of losing, of paying the cost again, because beneath it all, you're scared. You're afraid that you might like it. But once in a while, you need to let go, Sen. You need to live.
I'm not that 5-year-old. She was helpless. I will never be like that again. I choked out while fighting back tears. I hated that he could read me like an open book, as if he had a window into my very soul. I could feel him inside me, touching, opening up pages and reading me easily.
No, Sen. You're a beautifully skilled killer. One who seemingly shows no emotion, and yet you wear your bleeding heart on your sleeve. Everyone else just failed to see it. But I do. I see you.
I was about to tell him off when howls erupted around us, coming from the Fae close to the stage. The female announcer was back. She was wearing some kind of cloak. The only things visible were her ringlets of brown hair and ruby red lips. It's time to hunt, my beautiful brethren. We honor the Horde King and give him strength tonight, in hopes of his swift return back to us. When the last word came out, the room erupted into a mass of guttural screams. I shook as the room began spinning around me with the realization of what was happening. I knew Ryder was watching as everything fell into place inside my head. I should have known. Should have been smarter and shouldn't have let him distract me. I was in a room filled with several different castes of Fae on Samhain Eve. The Wild Hunt, I whispered breathlessly, afraid to be right, afraid that if he said yes, then I'd been brought here by him to be hunted and claimed as his prize in a contest filled with skilled hunters. His head tipped slightly as his smirk tugged at the corners of his mouth. He removed his hands from me and started undoing his cuffs before removing the jacket and deftly working the buttons of his crisp white shirt, opening it to reveal the wide span of sinewy muscles, his brands pulsing on his skin. I shook my head in disbelief. This wasn't happening to me. He's missing. Why honor him? I offered, hoping it would stop this, but knowing it wouldn't.
Why not, Sen?
With his shirt undone, he shook easily out of it and handed it to Zaruk, who had come up behind him, right on cue as always. The other men from his group once again circled us, but Ryder didn't stay.
Have her ready, and make sure she knows the rules, gentlemen.
I watched him walk away as his men closed in around me. I was shaking from the mere rumors of this event. I was so stupid. How could I have missed it? A club of Fae on Samhain. How fucking stupid was I? Zaruk handed off the dress suit jacket and the shirt along with it. He nodded at Dristan, who left and returned swiftly, carrying a glass of red liquid.
Drink, Cynthia. It will help steady your nerves.
Get me drunk and then make me run? I asked through chattering teeth. He smiled.
Trust me, it will help you.
Dristan handed me the glass, his eyes roving over me from head to toe, before he walked around and lifted my hair, his fingers grazing my skin as he removed the necklace Ryder had given me for protection.
Run fast. He isn't marking you for death, Sen.
He's earning the right to claim you as our ancestors have done for many millennia. When he catches you, and he will, you will have to decide if you want him. Unlike the others, he will allow you to choose to become his for the night. If you decide against it, you'll be taken back to the estate.
Decide what? I howled, shivering as the Rook and the rest of the men smiled coldly.
If he is worthy to have what he has caught,
he said charmingly.
If not, he will release you for the next hunter to claim. Just remember, not all follow the honor code Ryder does. Some won't care if you scream no. Some prefer an unwilling feast for the emotion they release during the sex.
There's a flag, right? If I make it to the flag, I don't have to choose. I seethed, anger setting in from what was about to happen.
Not quite,
Saruk said, crinkling his forehead.
If you make it to the white flag, you get the hunter who won last year in your bower.
I raised an eyebrow in question. And who won last year? Saruk smiled impishly. The others were laughing and snickering around us. I closed my eyes and counted to 20, hoping I'd wake up in my bed and this would all be a twisted nightmare. No such luck. I took the drink from Severin that Dristan had handed off before removing the necklace and gulped it in one drink, much to his boisterous amusement.
Severin, go get her another drink, please,
Dristan said carefully.
I need to tell you the rules, Cynthia,
Saruk continued.
They're going to open a portal into the enchanted forest, and you will get a short head start. Don't touch anything. No flowers. They're poisonous. If anything calls to you, stay the fuck away from it. Only death calls to you inside Faerie. The hounds will scare you at first, but they are trained to find and protect until their rider gets to you. They have been given your scent already. They follow a hunter. Only a few can tame the hounds. Nod if you understand what I am telling you.
I nodded while sipping the red liquid down slowly.
Nothing is safe inside Faerie. Nothing. Ryder will find you, Sin, and he will protect you.
He said again.
If you choose to end the game, you only need to tell him as much.
I snorted, enjoying the heat of the alcohol as it rushed through my system. The room had stopped spinning, but my heart hadn't stopped pounding yet. I swallowed yet another drink before meeting Z's level gaze. And if Adrian joins the hunt, what happens if I go with him? I asked, letting curiosity get the better of the situation. The men around us growled with disapproval, but not Saruk. He was calm, his face showing no signs of anger or disappointment.
If you choose the pup, Ryder will kill him. Inside the hunt, he won't care who he takes out, Sin. Human rules don't apply inside Faerie. Don't be stupid. Don't make him do something he will regret later. With his mind consumed by the need to hunt, he won't be himself. The hunt brings out the true side of the Fae.
So I go to him, no matter what, unless I tell him I don't want him. I asked, and when he nodded, I continued. Why didn't you just start with that? Dristan smiled charmingly in reply as if he'd already told Z that. The rest seemed not to care either way. Zaruk narrowed his eyes and shook his head before smiling.
And to think, Ryder said you would be fighting us every step of the way until we got you inside Faerie.
I know when to fight, just like I know when I'm fucked. Right now it would be futile to argue or fight. Either way, I do this ends up with me inside a Faerie with Ryder hunting me down. I could kick and scream if it would make you feel better. I smirked as he shook his head. His lips broke into a smile.
Nah, you have balls, Sin. You might just have enough to give Ryder a run for his money.
I flinched as the woman started up again, her voice flowing over the noise of the crowd easily. Are we ready to hunt? Shrieks and howls once again erupted as I bent down to undo the heels that laced around my ankles. When I stood back up, I handed them over to Zaruk. Metallica's Of Wolf and Man came on,
as the walls across the room shimmered to reveal a portal into Faerie.
Chapter 27. The room around us vibrated with powerful magic. It took a very